This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa qurrati a'yunina Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi afdalu salati wa atammu taslim amma ba'd. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost, I remind myself and then all of you all present here to bring in a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of our Maker during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain victory, if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. If you observe the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look around you, you and I, we are all the creation of Allah azza wa jal. It is from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has not created all of His creation equal. He has not created all of His creation equal. If you look at the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the heavens. Allah azza wa jal created the jannat, the gardens of paradise, and He has made Jannatul Firdaus to be the highest and most loftiest of gardens. Allah Azza wa Jal created the angels, so many angels. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. No one knows the exact number of the forces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these angels, Allah Azza wa Jal chose certain angels to be superior, to be more powerful than the other angels. For example, we have the most powerful of them all, the greatest of them all, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest angel of them all. And then you have Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, the angel in charge of rains and provision. And then you have Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam, the angel who has been given the responsibility of blowing the trumpet to signify the commencement of doomsday, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And as per, you know, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that this particular angel has already placed the trumpet on his lips and he is waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to blow the trumpet to signify the commencement of Yawm al-Qiyamah, doomsday. If you look at human beings, the umam, the nations, Allah azza wa jal created so many human beings from the beginning, from the time of our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until today. And of all these nations, Allah chose the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam to be the greatest and most superior of nations. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a galaxy of prophets. And from these prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose certain prophets to be higher and greater in virtue than others. We have Ulul Adhum, five special prophets. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad salawatu rabbi wasalamuhu alayhi. Five special prophets. And from the five special prophets, Allah chose two prophets to be Khalilain, His friends. Who are they? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam. And from the two Khalilain, Allah chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam to be the most beloved of His creation, the greatest of all prophets, the closest unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why am I mentioning all of this? Because my topic is 5 action items to be performed during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So how is it connected? Look at time. Allah created time and Allah has not created it equal. There are some days that are better than other days. There are some nights that are better than other nights. There are some months better than other months. If you talk about days, in general, the day that you and I, we are in, Friday, is the best of days during the week. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة فيه خلق آدم وفيه أدخل الجنة وفيه أخرج منها. Or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the best of days upon which the sun has risen is Friday. It was on a Friday that our father Adam والسلام, was created. It was on a Friday that he was admitted entry into Jannah, into paradise. And it was on a Friday that he was taken out of Jannah. The best of days is Friday. If you talk about it in the context of a year, the best of days are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Al-Ashru, Ayyamu Dhul Hijjah. If you talk about months, the best of months, or rather the best month, is the month that you and I, we are in, Ramadan. And if you talk about nights, it is the last 10 nights of Ramadan that are the best nights. And during the last 10 nights, we have one night that is extremely powerful, extremely special, known as Laylatul Qadr. Khayrun min alfi shahr. It is better than 1,000 months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I, all of us, the opportunity to attain Laylatul Qadr this Ramadan. Ameen. So we are headed rapidly towards those nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Subhanallah, look at how this Ramadan has slipped away from us. We are headed rapidly towards the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Rapidly. It's almost as if Ramadan just began. It's almost as if last year's Ramadan was just a month ago. And here we are now, this Ramadan 2019 is coming to an end. Time is flying. Another sign from the signs of the day of Qiyamah. So therefore it is upon us to remind ourselves, to constantly keep reminding ourselves, think, look around you. You might have had friends, you might have had relatives, you might have had people known to you who were with you last Ramadan, but they are now not with you. Are they not? They are not with you. They have gone to their qubur, to their graves. Likewise, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the coming Ramadan, we don't have any guarantee that you and I, we will see that Ramadan. Why, for that matter, we can't even guarantee that we will walk out of these masjid doors. I can't guarantee that I will get up from this pulpit. You can't guarantee that you will see the end of Salatul Jum'ah. You can't guarantee, you can't assure yourself. Can any one of us raise our hands and say, for sure, I know that I will break fast today? No. That is how uncertain this life is. So that is why it is of utmost importance as believers, as intelligent believers, that we use every single second that we have, every single valuable second that we have, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn deeds that will help us secure a good life in this world as well as the hereafter. So talking about the last 10 nights of Ramadan, I want to swiftly touch on 5 special action items that we can spend our last 10 nights indulging in. Action item number 1. Focus on your heart. Focus on your heart. What is the purpose behind Ramadan? Is the purpose behind Ramadan a diet? Is the purpose behind Ramadan merely staying away from food and drink and sexual desires? Is the purpose of Ramadan to try and understand how the poor suffer? Is that the purpose of Ramadan? Those may be secondary objectives, but the primary objective, as has been highlighted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the ayah that I read at the inception, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have brought in iman, O you the people of iman, kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Fasting has been written, decreed and prescribed upon you all, just as how it was decreed, prescribed and written upon the nations before you all. Wait for it, now comes the purpose, the objective, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you bring in taqwa, so that you become a people of taqwa. Now what is taqwa? Taqwa is to put up a barrier, a prevention, a protection, Wiqaya, to protect you from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is something that needs to permeate in your life, where you're constantly thinking of Allah, the commandments of Allah, the prohibitions of Allah. You strive to do the commandments of Allah. You strive to adhere completely to the commandments of Allah, and you stay away from all the prohibitions that have been put in place by our Maker. You know, once a man goes to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. You all know Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this man asks Abu Huraira, "Ya Abu Huraira, define taqwa for me. Tell me what taqwa is. Tell me what taqwa is all about." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he asks the man, "Have you ever walked down a thorny path? Have you ever walked down a thorny path? A path with brambles, a path with thorny branches. Have you ever walked down a thorny path?" To which the man, he replies in the affirmative. He says, "Yes, I have. Why?" Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asks the man, "So what did you do whilst you were walking down this path?" The man said, "Well, I gathered my clothing together. I made sure that I gathered my clothing and I made my way carefully and gingerly down the path to avoid snagging my clothing onto the thorns. I made my way carefully down the path." Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, "That is the definition of taqwa." So scholars explain this metaphor, this parable, this example, the path is the short life that you and I have been blessed with, the short life that Allah has given us. Our destination is Al-Akhirah. This is temporary. This worldly life is temporary. It's a short life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us. The thorns, the brambles, these thorny branches are the muharramat, are the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you make your way down the path, you make your way carefully to avoid snagging your clothing onto those thorns. Why? Because the devil, shaitan, lies in wait to try and make you trip, to try and make you stumble and fall with these thorns. So this is taqwa, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conscious of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So action item number one is to focus on your hearts. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us spend some time introspecting. Our deen is not only cosmetic appearances. It is not only wearing a thawb or wearing a kurta, you know, having a long beard and, you know, all of that. That is one side of it. But you also have spiritual dimensions inside. You take salah, it would not only suffice for you to stand in qiyam, ruku, sujood, and not have spiritual dimensions. For example, let me give you an example. If one of you were to come to the masjid, okay, pray in the first saf, right next to the muadhin, and if you did that, not to please Allah. Let's say you prayed with a lot of khushu', mashallah. You are, you know, so much of concentration and all of that. But your intention was to please the people. Your intention was to become known in the community as a pious man, as a righteous man. Not for Allah, not to please Allah. Do you think that salah would be accepted by Allah? It will not be accepted by Allah. Let's say you gave out mountains of gold, you gave mountains, so much of money in charity, but you did it to be known as a charitable person, as a philanthropist. Will that sadaqah be accepted by Allah? On the other hand, you give a tiny piece of date, sincerely, just say one date, sincerely for the sake of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. That is more valuable to Allah than the mountains of gold given to please the people. So this is our deen, balanced. So therefore it is important, just as how much of importance we give to our outward appearance, that we give it to our inward attire as well, as to how we beautify our inwards. So we need to work on our hearts. Let's use this Ramadan, like I said, to introspect and work on our hearts, to cleanse our hearts of all these toxic qualities. You know, sometimes without us knowing, jealousy creeps in, where we are jealous of others. We talk bad about others. We gossip about others. We harbor these toxic grudges and thoughts about others. We don't want another person to come forward. We don't want another person to rise. We don't want another person to earn more than us. We don't want another person to do good. These are toxic qualities. Or there is pride in our hearts. This is the quality of shaitan. This is what made shaitan fall. Pride. He said, "Ana khayrun min." He said, "I am better than Adam." خَلَقَتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. You have created me out of fire and you created him out of clay. Superiority complex. He had a superiority complex. He thought high and mighty of himself. So these are all qualities that creep into our hearts, and it is important that we spend some time purifying our hearts. We need to work towards purifying our hearts, where we think good about others, where we bring in good conduct, good mannerisms. You see, the Prophet ﷺ was a pinnacle of good conduct. We live in a community where we have people of other faiths. We need to respect them. We need to respect their faith. We need to treat them with good conduct. That is the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. You may have a neighbor who may be of your faith, who may be not of your faith. Yet you treat that neighbor with respect, with love, with care, with honor. These are the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet lived amidst Christians. The Prophet lived amidst Jews. And he treated them with respect. He treated them with care. So this is how a Muslim needs to be, where we harm no one. Not even an ant. Yes, you might do it unknowingly, unintentionally, and you're not going to be held accountable. You see, there's a narration of once a prophet was bitten by an ant. And because of that, he burnt an entire colony of ants. And immediately he was instructed by Allah, for one ant you burnt an entire ummah, an entire nation. Allahu Akbar. If this is the case with ants, then what about human beings today? You look around the world, you see hate, you see anger, you see violence. So we, as ambassadors of Islam, ambassadors of this beautiful deen, we need to become ambassadors of peace, ambassadors of love, ambassadors of care, to embody the teachings of the Quran and the beautiful sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's work on our hearts, work on purifying our hearts. So that is action item number one. Action item number two, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, focus on your ibadah. As you can see, I started off with heart and now I'm moving on to your limbs, ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as per a hadith, we know, as per narrations, that during the last 10 nights, he would exert himself further in good deeds, in worshipping Allah, in reading the Quran, in dua. So during the last 10 nights, you're supposed to exert yourself in salah, in reading the Quran, in making dua, in crying unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exert yourself last 10 nights. Action item number three, sadaqah. Give out sadaqah. Give out charity. As-sadaqatu tutufi'ul bala, as per the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does charity do? Charity averts calamities, extinguishes calamities, brings you out of difficulty. Sadaqah. Depending on your level, on your income, give out sadaqah. Be a generous individual. Do not be stingy. Stinginess, miserliness, being a Scrooge, being stingy is not the hallmark of a believer. It is not the hallmark of a believer. The Prophet was an extremely, extremely generous individual. He would give at times like a cyclone, like a beautiful gale of wind. You see, when the wind blows, does the wind select and touch individuals? Like if there was a gust of wind to blow now, it would refresh this entire congregation. It would refresh all of us, unless we were blocked by a pillar or something like that. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's generosity. It would touch every single individual, impacting every single individual. He was such a generous individual. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Action item number four. Tawbah. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness. Tawbah. See, we have this misconception. We think that tawbah is something for the sinners only. Tawbah is something that only the sinners must do. You might be thinking, well, I'm not a sinner. Why do I have to do tawbah? My dear brother, my dear sister, tawbah needs to become part and parcel of your everyday lives. Everyday lives. Why? Are we not perpetual sinners? Are we not constant sinners? We walk on the streets, we are sinning. We sit down to talk with someone, we are sinning. We go onto the internet, we are sinning. So are we not perpetual sinners? Do we not need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And look at what our Maker says about Tawbah in the Quran. Look at who is being addressed in the Quran.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu.
Look at who is being addressed. Oh you people of Iman. Oh you who have brought in Iman. Not even Ya ayyuhal ladhina aslamu. Oh you who have embraced Islam. No. Oh you criminals. Oh you wrongdoers. Oh you transgressors. Oh you sinners. No. Mu'minun. Oh you believers. So do we not all consider ourselves people of Iman? People of Iman. We are being addressed. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sincere tawbah, with a sincere repentance. So tawbah. The final action item that I would like to touch on and then conclude is having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having positive and optimistic thoughts in regards to Allah azza wa jal. To think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, some of us, we have negative and bad thoughts about Allah. Some of us think, you know what, Allah is never going to forgive me. Or Allah is not just. Allah is not fair. Why is Allah testing me like this? Why am I the only one going through this? Why is life so unfair? We have bad thoughts about Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِيبِ. I am as per how my slave thinks of me. If you think good about Allah, that is how Allah will behave with you. That is how Allah will be with you. If you think bad about Allah, then that is how Allah will be. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more forgiving, is more caring, is more loving than our own mothers. Do we all not have firm conviction, firm belief in the love of our mothers? Even if the entire world were to look at an individual as a criminal, that individual knows that if he or she runs to his or her mother, that mother would forgive, that mother would embrace that individual. Yes or no? The entire world can look at that individual as a criminal, but the mother still loves that individual. This is how much of faith we have in the love of our mothers. Let me give you all a mind-blowing narration, a tear-jerking narration. Hadith is in Bukhari. Once, and the incident goes along the lines of these words, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they were seated, and suddenly they see a mother frantically looking for her child. They were on a journey and they had all camped, and suddenly they see a mother frantically looking for her child. She had perhaps lost her child temporarily, and she was looking for her child. You see, when a mother loses her child, for that matter, any parent, you would see the panic, you would see fear. Fear was etched on her face. She was frantically looking for her child. The Sahaba were immediately about to help her, when suddenly she spots her child. She runs to the child, she hugs the child, she brings the child close to her bosom, and she's cradling the child, and you can now see relief washing down her face, happiness washing down her face, and perhaps tears of joy running down her cheeks because she has found her child. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at this spectacle, and then he looks at the Sahaba and he says, oh my Sahaba, oh my companions, do you think that this lady, this mother, would throw her child into a blazing fire? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, a very soft-hearted individual, he was moved. All of them were moved. They said, no, Ya Rasulullah, never. This mother would never throw her child into a blazing fire. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, Allah, our Allah, is many, many more times more forgiving and more caring more loving unto his slaves than this mother is towards a child. Allah. So do you think, my dear brothers, I'm asking you, do you think Allah is going to throw you into the fire if you turn to him? Do you think Allah is not going to forgive you? Allah will forgive any sin, any sin. All you have to do is turn to Allah. Turn to him. Turn to him. Forgiveness is in his hands. Yes, maybe if you have wronged the rights of human beings, then yes, you have to seek their forgiveness as well. But if it is only the rights of Allah, Allah will forgive you. Even shirk, as long as you don't die upon shirk, Allah will forgive you if you turn to him. If you turn to him. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as I conclude, I leave you all with the statement of a scholar of the past. He is reported to have once said, righteous scholar, that if I were to be given the choice between choosing my mother or Allah to judge me on the day of Qiyamah. Now I want you all to put yourselves in his shoes. Just imagine you are given the choice. You have Allah to judge you or your mother. We would all run to our mothers because we know all we have to do is hug our mothers and you know everything is over. This scholar says, I will choose Allah over my mother. Because if I have that much of faith and conviction in the mercy of my mother, then I should have much more faith and conviction in the mercy of Allah. His mercy is many, 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 many more times multiplied over the mercy of my mother. Allahu Akbar. With that I conclude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us all to make the most out of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us all to attain Laylatul Qadr this Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and bless us to attain many more Ramadan in the future. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to cleanse our hearts of all toxic emotions and feelings. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to purge all negative elements from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with goodness, with love, with peace, with care towards one another. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect the Muslims around the globe. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let peace prevail in our country and other countries as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us with good health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our sufferings. May Allah Azza wa Jal relieve us of our sufferings like debt, financial issues, health problems, marital problems. And likewise, just as how he united us here in this masjid, Masjid al-Taqwa, here in Blantyre, may Allah Azza wa Jal unite all of us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah. And may he bless us to drink from the Haud, from the fountain, through the blessed hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.